Now, these are usually only studied now by specialists, but they make great reading, and I strongly recommend you go back and look at the works of some of these men. Men like Dodwell, men like Leek, William Leek, the German Ross, the Frenchman de Pouqueville. These men who travelled to Greece in the early part of the 19th century were going largely into an unknown land. And they took with them as their guide the ancient travel writer Pausanias. And what they did, quite simply, was to walk around Greece or to ride around Greece on horseback and to say, Pausanias says that in his time there was a temple at this location, and when I went there, I could still see these pillars or these walls. And so what you have is a flood of material being printed in England, in Germany, and in France in the early part of the 19th century, in which these scouts, these writers, they are actually sometimes military spies who are looking at the Greek countryside in case their armies were ever going to have to come south. They're looking at Greece and they're seeing it both as a modern country which may have to be saved from the Turk, and they're seeing it also as an ancient culture to which they are intimately tied. So we find a combination then of classical Greece and the contemporary world in the 19th century being drawn together. And we see this reflected in the art of the period as well, as artists flocking to Greece begin to produce these wonderful drawings of the ruins to be seen in the Greek countryside, these very romantic visions of the Greek world. Now, this vision, this romantic vision of a lost Greece, is an interesting one because it turns Greece almost into a kind of Eden, a land from which we came and which we may be able to get back to if we read enough about the Greeks and resuscitate their culture. It led to the idea, for example, that ancient Greece must have been a soft and verdant countryside, almost like Kent or the home counties outside of London. And so when people went to Greece in the 19th century and actually saw how spare and rough and dry and Spartan most of the landscape is, people were concerned about this, and so they believed, well, you know, the ancient countryside must have been debased over the centuries as people ploughed too much and overused the land, and now Greece is only a watered-down, debased version of it once was. Now, that's not actually true. Ecological studies in this century have demonstrated that the Greek countryside of the classical age was pretty much the same as the Greek countryside of today. The most significant changes in Greece have probably been in the post-war period since deep bore irrigation was introduced, but leaving that aside. The point I'm making here is that what we see in the 19th century, for all these various reasons, is the creation of an idea, of an ideal Greece. A Greece that is beautiful, is gone, but may be one that we can get back to if we study the Greeks, and particularly if we model ourselves on the Greeks. Now, throughout much of the 19th century, the focus for this was in German scholarship, and it wasn't just scholarship either, it was in German life, particularly in Prussia. After the defeat of the Prussians at the Battle of Jena by Napoleon, the Prussian Minister for Education issued a manifesto which claimed that he was going to rebuild Prussian society along the model of the ancient Greeks. And throughout the 18th and the 19th century, you find in many parts of German culture, in the works of many German poets and thinkers, in Schiller and in Hölderlin, time and time again, the notion expressed that while we modern Europeans live in a fractured world and an imperfect world, we could perfect it. We could reclaim perfection if we were to get back to the world of the Greeks, that was somehow the Eden from which we've all descended. So the Greeks have had to carry a very, very heavy weight on their backs. They have been, for the last 200 years, the model, not just of what we are, but the idealized version of what we might be. That if we didn't have to put up with unfortunate scandals, such as either Watergate or, more recently, Monica-gate, then we could expect a political life in which our statesmen were truly statesmanlike. No culture should have to carry the weight of those expectations. The Greeks were every bit as human as we are.